You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio.
Fight Radio, episode 32. Let's get my partner in crime in here, Mr. London.
Take heed, because I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the fake sounds. When nothing takes to kick holes in the ground, because my style's like a chemical spill. People rhyme to condition and feel.
Hey, dude.
I'm a bad man, man. It's 10:30 on a Saturday night. It's been too long. I almost forgot what we were doing, where we were going. It's been so long, Carl. I haven't heard Ice Ice Baby. I had to go out to a bar last night with my wife and request it at a country bar. It got played, it got booed, and they stopped it halfway through. About the same time where you just stopped my song. But I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to hear it again. I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm ready to go, man.
Right on, man. Yeah, we were sort of locked in the asylum for a month. We were gone for a long time, but hey, we're back. We can do this again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what's new, Carl? I mean, there's got to be some new shit in the asylum.
What's new? Well, we're about 6 days away from the launch of our store, Shop Madhouse. Pretty excited about that.
Very excited.
Extremely busy, man. I'm inputting data like you wouldn't believe. We're going to have everything in there from, T-shirts, supplements, championship belts, gear, equipment, you name it, man. We're going to have everything in there. You name it.
Prostitutes?
I'll put one in there just for you, man.
I appreciate it. At a reduced cost, of course. I struggle with the pocketbook at times, so I'm excited.
Hey, you want a discount, really?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm a businessman, Carl. If I can get it somewhere, I want a discount. You know, lady of the street. I don't know if I have coupons.
I'll send you a secret coupon code or something, man. Hey, we have a special co-host joining us tonight.
I know. I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to working with me tonight. We have a big show tonight, Carl. We have we got Bragg and Jimmy coming back on. I'm very excited about that. We have JT Tropic, a promoter out of Canada, who is also the social media promoter for Punishment Athletics, Team Punishment Athletics, Tito Ortiz's company. We're going to be doing a big party, and we're doing a bunch of V3 fights fighters tonight. And with that, we have a Team Madhouse member, Joshua Shackelford, who covers the V3. So I appreciate him coming on and teach me a little bit about some of these fighters and stuff. So, Joshua, you out there?
Get him in here.
Hey, Carl.
What's that? Was that won by Metallica?
Yes, it is.
That's a good song, brother. I'd like to, I would have loved to have that played all the way through. I could sit out here and bang my head and, scream and shout. That's a great song. Joshua, how are you?
Badass song. I'm good. How y'all doing?
We're good, man. What's new? You down in Memphis? Are you in Memphis right now?
Actually, I'm in Western Kentucky, Paducah, actually.
All right. What's going on in Paducah?
That's where I live at. But I'm close to Memphis. I'm about 3 hours from Memphis. So I go to the V3 shows a lot down there.
Oh, yeah. They, 3 hours from Memphis is like Carl going to pick up groceries at the corner store. So you know where that man lives? That man lives like in the middle of nowhere, like legitimately in the middle of nowhere. But, no, man, I'm glad
it's the middle of nowhere is called Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, but you got to admit, Carl, you do kind of live in obscure, I don't want to call it sheltered. I mean, you kind of live a peaceful life. How's that?
I'm like a platypus.
You are a platypus. I love it. A platypus. Now, I just got a mental picture of like this platypus with like a beard, like just hanging out with like an MMA Madhouse shirt on, just hanging out, like for glasses. Sorry. So we got a big show tonight. Josh, tell me a little bit about V3 fights before we get going. I know we have the 135 pound champion, women's champion.
We have a 135 pound champion, Jamie Milanovsky. I know she'll be coming on the show tonight. V3, though, they are one of the top MMA shows in the whole state of Tennessee. I mean, they are doing big things down there. They definitely know how to put on a great show. And most of their fighters are going pro, and they are doing big things.
Now, I'm not sure if you know all the workings of V3, but how long have they been in existence, and what number show are we on, stuff like that? Do you have any ideas about that kind of stuff?
I believe they have been doing it for about 5 years now. I'm not sure what show this is, what number it is, but I'm believing it's about 5 years they've been in existence.
I've heard from every person I've talked to in regards to the V3. Now, I have to be 100% honest with you. I'm looking very forward to tonight. I'm getting a little taste of V3, and then next week I think we're going to have an all V3 show, and I'm hoping you're coming back to join us next week, too. But I'm looking very forward to getting a little information about V3. I've never, ever watched one of their events, and that's my bad. I'm going to correct that. I'm going to hunt some stuff down and make sure I watch some of their events before next week. But, I'm looking very forward to talking to we have number one contender on for one of the men's titles. I'm sorry, there's three title fights going on this next event. So I know we have the number one contender for one of the men's titles. I don't think he's 100 or the heavyweight. And then we have the 135 female champ. So I'm looking very forward to that.
Yeah, I believe it's the men's 155 number one contender tonight, which is Eli McLaughlin. And, of course, the women's 135 champion, Jamie Milanowski.
I think we have Jamie Milanowski. I think she's ready to go, and if she is, I think Lil Cannon is all set and ready to go. Jamie, are you with us tonight?
Yep, sure I am.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
We're good. I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know it's a Saturday night. I don't want to take up ruin your whole Saturday night by talking to me, but I know you got a show coming up here in a couple weeks. So first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself. Like I was just telling Josh, I know zero about V3, and I apologize for that. I promise that I'm going to watch and I'm going to learn more about it, but I'm hoping you can kind of take me through my infancy and kind of tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the fight game.
Well, I got started, you know, I was about 18. I started boxing, actually. I did boxing for about 2 years. And then out of, you know, an accident, really, I transitioned to MMA. And I've been going hard at that for about like a month or a year and 6 months, I would say. And
okay.
I just love it. Like, I fell in love right away.
Now, tell me, you said by accident you kind of transitioned from one to the other. What was the accident? Like, it wasn't like a car accident or anything, right? It was just kind of like,
no,
you know, they needed a...
not like an injury
right.
accident. But, right. no, I was actually kicked out of the boxing gym. Me and the coach, we just couldn't really see eye to eye. And, you know, God just worked it out and put me in the boxing, in the MMA gym. And I just, you know, started going from there. I fell in love. The MMA coach hit me up and he was like, hey, can you come work with my girl? She needs help with stand-up. I was just supposed to box with her. I was like, well, you know, I used to wrestle in high school. I'm pretty, you know, I'm all right. So you want me to work with her on ground, too? Pretty much just be a body. And so they put me to work there, and, you know, so it all just happened for the best.
And the rest, they say, is history. Now, let me ask you a question. I was looking at some pictures of you on, I Googled you, looking at some pictures. You know, no offense, you're a pretty girl. How does a pretty girl like to box and want to get punched in the face for a living? Huh? Yeah, absolutely. How does a pretty girl like yourself want to get punched in the face for a living?
Hey, I haven't always been pretty, you know. When I was younger, I used to be a big tomboy. I had short hair, wore boy clothes and everything, and then I just kind of grew out of it as I got older and realized, hey, I'm kind of good looking, so might as well show it.
Fair enough. No, I appreciate that. How long have you been with V3 Fight Organization?
Let's see, I had my first fight with them, I believe it was in June 15th. That sounds about right. I don't know, I had my debut there. It was my title fight, actually, at 135 with Sharvonda Jordan.
So you've only been with them for July, like 2 months? Is that right?
Yeah. June, July,
okay.
Yeah, about three.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How, you said that was for a title. Every place I looked, I couldn't find an accurate record for it. I'd find, you know, some 0-0s. I'd find, like, a 1-0. I'd find, you know, like, an 0-1.
Yeah,
so
if you go to, like, the MMA Underground, they have it updated. I'm 3-0 currently. I
okay.
got one
okay.
TKO and 2 wins by submission. So
okay.
I'm trying to work on this 4-0 coming up September 28th.
I promise you we're going to talk about that. I want to get a little bit of background from you. So you have a title fight in June, your first title fight, I'm assuming. Is that like the first, you know?
Yeah,
is
that,
when that
was my first title fight for MMA. I have had a few titles for boxing. So that's my first title for MMA.
All right. You know, I'm not a fighter. I don't know if you ever see me. I'm not a fighter. I'm an eater. I like to eat. I'm a big man. I like to eat. I like some chicken wings. But,
hey,
you know, tell me
don't
something.
We all like to eat? This is America.
Let me ask you something. You're sitting in the locker room. This is your first title fight for MMA, a sport that you're fairly new at. I mean, with all due respect, you're fairly new at this. So you're sitting in the locker
mm-hmm.
room. You've went through. You've been in boxing rings pretty much your whole life. Tell me how you're feeling. Is it the same feeling, a different feeling, the transition the same? You know, walk me through your gut before you walk into the ring for your first title fight.
You know, I don't really know. Like, before my fights, I always take a nap. Like, I don't know why, I just always take a nap. And then coach got to come wake me up. He told me it's time to warm up and go. So I wake up, we do a little warm up, you know, on the pads and everything. I get real hyped, my music comes on, and I'm just ready to go. Like, I mean, I get so prepared in the gym, you know, there's no time for nervousness. You know, my nerves, they've been kicked back. You know, I'm so ready for the fight, I just don't have any nerves. Like, I'm just out there ready to go and get my belt. You know, so that's how I feel. I just got to go pick up what's mine. Glorify God
right.
in the whole process.
All right, fair enough. I appreciate that. Now, I, you know, I'm not a fighter, so I'm still trying to wrap my head around this whole, like, training camp thing. I mean, I'm assuming now you're what, 2 weeks out from your fight? I'm assuming your camp
yeah,
is wrapping
up
pretty 2 weeks from today, okay. I'm assuming your camp is wrapping up pretty quickly here, pretty soon, I'd imagine. Now,
mm-hmm.
where are we? where are we in your camp? Are you putting in game plans? Are you working on new? I mean, you're probably not working on new stuff right now, right? I mean, you have all the tools you're
right.
going to work with, right? Or am I
right.
way off?
We got all the tools right now. It's just about really just focusing on the technique and just making sure my cardio is good, keeping up with that. I got to stay focused. You know, I'm a very spiritual person, so I go to the gym often just to meditate, and then I train, and that's all my day is. Like, that's what my life is literally consumed of. I took a step of faith and quit my job just to focus on this fight. Like, you know, I'm a very godly woman, so, you know, God told me to quit my job, go full-time. So that's what I'm doing. I'm a full-time fighter.
Hey, Jamie, this is Josh.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Just a couple questions I want to ask. As you won your last fight and became the champ, what was going through your head after they put the belt around you? And also, what is going through your head as you're about to come up to your first title defense?
As they put the belt around me, I was just grateful. You know, I just felt real blessed. I was like, man, you know, all this hard work, like, is really paying off right now. Like, that just goes to show, you know, you put in the effort, you win the fight in the gym long before you step in the cage. That's how I feel. So it's like I already knew I was going to be a champ. You know, it's just no denying that. So once I had the belt, I was just emotional. You know, I was a little girl in there, you know. I about cried. I didn't. But, you know, I wanted to. I had to fight the tears. But it felt real good, you know, just to know, like, man, I did it. Like, you know, I focused and I got it. And then, you know, the rest is just history. But, you know, after that, you know, now coming up on the title defense, I'm just ready. You know, I don't take days off. You know, this is my life, literally. Like, my entire life is consumed with this. So, you know, I'm just ready.
Josh is our V3 expert for MMA Madhouse. So, Josh, were you with that title fight when she won that title? Were you there?
Yes, I was.
You were. That's awesome. I just am sitting back thinking, because the only time I've ever been to a title fight that, you know, somebody was crowned champion or whatever, I was actually at UFC 126 when John Jones won. So I was. You know, it's the only time I ever, and I'm sitting way up in the nosebleeds, but I can't imagine sitting there, local MMA, I love it, watching your hard work pay off, come to fruition, being so close. I love it. I'm stoked. I'm kind of jealous. I'm envious of you a little bit, Josh, for sure. I got to ask you a question. You said you're a very religious woman, a very godly woman. Now, and you said God. Okay, one told you to quit your job. Now, I'm not trying to be glib or funny when I say this, but was there ever a time when you thought, am I making the right decision, or did you put all faith, and I know religion is a faith-based, you know, I know it's all faith-based, but was there ever a time you're like, I just don't know. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I have, you know, the wherewithal, or, I mean, I got to support myself, or were you just like, you know what, this is it, and I'm going to just jump full steam ahead into this?
See, when I started wrestling, you know, that's kind of how I felt. I was kind of wishy-washy. But I was like, you know, is this where I'm supposed to be? Like, I love this. I really enjoy it. But is this where I'm supposed to be? So I was often questioning it. And I was like, I don't know. I just pray about it. And I did. And the next thing you know, I'm boxing. And so I'm like, is this where I'm supposed to be? And I'm still questioning. And then I got to MMA, and I'm just like, man, now this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm confident where I'm supposed to be. This is my career. This is my life. This is my journey. Like, this is my mission. Some Christians, you know, they go, like my dad, he's a missionary in Peru. Some people go out of the country to help folks. I'm here in the cage trying to help folks. You know, I'm glorifying through America. Like, this is my mission. So I'm going to constantly have to put in that hard work to ensure that I'm victorious just to show that God is real. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks that don't believe in God. And, you know, I respect people and their religious beliefs and everything like that. So I ain't trying to step on no toes, but, you know, I'm a praying woman, I'm a godly woman, and I ain't afraid to show it. So that's
I very much appreciate that answer, and I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm not trying to bait you into religion question, you know, religion.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Well, but I truly believe that. I really feel like, you know, some people got to look at you and just like shake their head and be like, man, this girl is crazy. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you're quitting your job. You're kind of just throwing yourself, you know, you really have to believe 100% in yourself, not even so much in God and you know, whatever else. I mean, you got to believe in yourself. And I really think that speaks a lot for your character, that you can say, you know what, I know for a fact I'm going to leave something that I'm going to get a paycheck every week, and I'm going to go and I'm going to have a lot of faith in myself, and I'm going to earn my money. So I give you a lot of credit for doing that, absolutely.
Sick.
Do you, go ahead, bud.
Oh, Jamie, a question about, I've recently seen that you were in a conversation on an interview, actually. I think it was with Bad Boy MMA or something like that.
It was an Uncaged magazine, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, they were comparing the top female MMA fighters out there, and when they mentioned your name, it was kind of pretty cool that somebody that's just had just a couple of fights and is already getting compared to some of the big female fighters out there. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, man. When I got the news, I was actually, you know, just sitting down relaxing for practice, and I was sitting on my bed, and my friend had messaged me, like, have you seen this? Like, you seen this? And he sent me some information. I clicked on, and I about fell out the chair. I was like, oh, my goodness. This is crazy. Like, I'm being compared to Ronda Rousey, you know, all these greats. And I just felt good. Like, that just pushed me so much more. It was on a Sunday. And usually on Sundays I rest, but I was like, man, I got to get to the gym. Like, I got to put this to work, like, right now. Like, that's how I work, you know. I just get so motivated when stuff like that happens. Like, a lot of people can't handle that pressure. Like, oh, you're being compared to these folks. Like, you feel that pressure. Like, nah, to me, that's motivation. Like, bring that. Bring that to me. I'm going to take it to the gym and just run with it. Like, I felt so good. I couldn't believe how blessed I was at that moment. Just wait till I beat Ronda Rousey. That's gonna really be a blessing right there.
See,
that's just great stuff. That's what I'm meaning about just believing 100% in yourself. That's awesome. Go ahead, man. I apologize. Go ahead with the question, bud.
Now, is there any time in the future that you're looking to go pro anytime soon, or?
Oh, yeah, me and my coach have spoken about that a few times. We're looking to go pro 3 more fights. You know, kind of depending on how those fights go or what happens or who we can get to fight, you know. So it's just kind of up in the air. I'm hoping to turn pro, you know, the coming year, you know, maybe like January, February, and go from there.
Jamie, 3 more fights after this fight or including this fight? So this fight and 2 more or this fight and 3 more?
3 more, including this fight.
Okay, I see. So, do you have a lot of support from mom and dad, or mom or dad, or, you know, boyfriend, husband? I don't know your story. So do you have a lot of support? Do you have a lot of people that are patting you on the back? Or do you have a lot of people that are kind of grabbing you by the leg and saying, you know, hanging on for dear life, and, you know, you're kind of running away from kicking and screaming?
Yeah, I've got a whole lot of support from my parents. My parents have been separated, you know, since I was a little child. But, you know, my mama, she lives in Michigan. My dad, he lives in Peru, so... You know, it's kind of distant support, but they always there for me. They cheer me on no matter what. You know, my mom, she just finished chemo, actually. And she called me up the other day, and she was like, you know, I entered in an arm wrestling contest, and I won. And I was like, no, you just finished chemo. Like, you need to chill out. But my mom, man, she's tough. She's where I get all my toughness, man. She's just super tough. You know, she went through chemo, and it was nothing. I'm like, man, I'm so proud of her. I love her. And my dad, he, like I said, he's a missionary serving in Peru, you know, spreading the gospel. So I'm real proud of him. And, you know, so I just get, like, all that energy from them, you know. Like, I really want to, you know, just be real successful just so I can take care of them and everything that they want to do in life, too, because they really support me through my entire journey.
You know, I just talking in the 15 minutes that we've had, or what, 10 minutes that we've had so far together, I can see you absolutely do get your kind heart and your in your, you know, wanting to help people from your father and your toughness from your mom. That's incredible. Us over here at MMA Madhouse wish your mom, a lengthy, speedy, recovery from her cancer. My father's had it, and I know the battle she's been going through. So, we're very proud of her over here as well. So, pass that along for us. But
for sure.
Tell me a little bit about your opponent coming up 2 weeks from tonight, September 28th. Tell me a little bit about the opponent that you're fighting. What do you know about her? What kind of style is she bringing?
Man, I'm fighting Lizzie Cutthroat Johnson. She's a cool chick. We actually fought. It was both of our debuts. It was September of last year. And, it was both of our first fights. So, I ended up winning by TKO in third round. And she tough, man. I ain't never hit a chick like that, and she just been good. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, she was tough as nails. She real cool, too, after the fight. We started talking, and, we both really respect each other, but we also have respect for the game. We understand that, we got to go through each other to reach success. So we, neither one of us, taking this fight, lightly. I know I ain't, and I'm sure she ain't. So,
right.
It's going to be on because she's tough, I'm tough, so we're going to be brawling. I know it's going to be a war.
Now, Jamie.
Go ahead.
Jamie, is there anything new that you have worked on since your last fight with Lindsay that you think you can overcome in this fight?
Well, like I said, Lindsay was my first fight, so back then I had about 6 months' experience, whereas now I've got about a year and 6 months' experience. So since then I've had a few fights. I've really worked on my jiu-jitsu and, submissions, because back then I actually didn't know too many submissions. I just knew wrestling, and I knew a few arm bars, and, it was mostly just a lot of punching and rolling in that fight. But you can look it up on YouTube. Actually, it's, all three rounds are there. But, so I've really worked on, quick transitions, submissions, working on my striking, pretty much just all around. I love the game, so, I work every aspect of it. It's a mixed martial art, not, just jiu-jitsu or just standing up, or else they call it boxing, right? So, I work on everything.
Yeah.
Hey, Jamie, just to follow up on one of the question about your opponent. I'm just curious. You said she's a real cool chick, and I really appreciate that because I mean, you guys are fighters. You guys are going to go in there, and you're going to try to beat each other up. Now let me ask you.
Right.
I get that you guys have respect for each other, but has there ever come a point when you were just like really pissed off, and you really want to hurt somebody, or is it always just business is business, and you're just going to go in there and do your job? She's going to try to do hers. And afterwards, you're gonna you're gonna shake hands and have a drink together, or is it like, has there ever been a time for you that you're like really pissed off and want to hurt somebody?
I mean, maybe when I was in high school and it was in the street and I was just like, hey, what's up, trick? Like, we finna throw down in this parking lot. That's when I'd have been mad for fighting. But like when it comes to MMA, it's an organized sport, so I stay as focused as possible. If I'm angry, I'm not focused. That's just unnecessary emotion that I feel is just not going to benefit me. So I keep a level head, and it's professional. So as long as I remain professional, I'm good. I don't have any animosity towards her. I don't imagine she would have any animosity towards me, unless you want to. I mean, if that helped her, then so be it. But as far as I go personally, I don't have hate in my heart, period. Like, I love everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just loving person. I used to have so much hate when I was younger, it just ruined me. It destroyed me, internally, and I just can't deal with that no more. So, so be it.
Well, Jamie, I got to be honest with you. I just said to the guys in our little chat, we have an off-screen chat, that I want to see you fight. I'm going to try to hunt down this fight and see if I can't watch, because I'm really pulling for you. I think you're a great girl. You got the right attitude. You just seem like a sweetheart. You seem like somebody that really loves the sport. And, you come from a good family. You just got the whole package, and I'm really pulling for you. So I wish you all the best. I want to give you a chance to thank your sponsors and your team and everything, but I got to tell you something. As I'm looking online for you, I'm Googling you. I have this thing. about Pinterest. And I want to tell you, you are the first MMA fighter that I've had on my show that has Pinterest. So I want you to tell me a little bit about Pinterest.
So I've been knitting scarves since I was a little kid. Don't judge me. I make scarves all through the winter. Like, I was out on surgery for 6 weeks. I made, like, 50 scarves. So if anybody needs some scarves, hit me up. They keep you warm. They're fashionable. You know, all that. Guys, girls, they're great. It's starting to get cold outside. Everybody needs scarves. But, no, for real, I really did make about 50 scarves, and I donated them to the homeless. You know, that's just kind of my way of giving back, you know. It's just, like, yeah. I don't mind doing it. I like to knit. It's just comfortable, you know. It's relaxing and everything.
It's so funny. I love it. It's great because I saw you have your name on Pinterest, and I just started laughing. I told Carl I got to ask you about Pinterest. Jamie, before I let you go, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. And then you got a couple seconds to thank your sponsors and your team. Go ahead.
All right, cool. You know, you can find me on Facebook. I don't have a Twitter yet. I'm under Lil Cannon Milanowski, MILANOWSKI. It's Polish, if anyone's wondering. I'm sponsored by Herbs & More in Athens, Alabama currently. If you go to herbsandmore.com, you know, you can hit them up. Or dietersdelight.com. They also have websites there, you know. Let's see, who else wants to sponsor by? I think that's it right now. So anybody else who wants to sponsor me, hit me up.
That's right. Jamie, we wish you the best of luck here, and we're gonna be rooting for you 2 weeks from tonight. Come back on after you're done and tell us how that first title defense was, okay?
Oh, of course.
All right. Hey,
Jamie, I really appreciate y'all bringing me on the show.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jamie, I'll be there in V3, so I hope I get interviewed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you better. I'll be looking for you.
Okay.
All right, Jamie, thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, y'all. God bless.
Jamie Milanowski fighting for the 135 title at V3. Carl, I know, man. I know I got to pay some bills. I know people are hollering at me. People are mad because they're giving us, you know, cold, hard cash, and we're not even repping them. So, Carl, take us into our sponsors.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Matt, and let me tell you all something about Jax Media, too. They are doing some incredible work for MMA Madhouse, just, you know, anybody in general. 8 days, I think it is. 8 days, no, 6 days, something like that in that area. You know, you're going to see some work. I know they're doing a lot of work for MMA Madhouse. Jax Media is just where it's at. So, Josh, I got to apologize to you, my friend. If you have anything to say and you want to jump in, tell me to shut up because I will yap all freaking night long, brother. So if you want to talk about anything, you just say, London, shut your mouth, man. I want to say something. So no hard feelings, man. You know, you can jump in anytime. So,
you're fine, Jamie, man. I'm just nervous about all this. I just get used to it and doing a little research at the same time, you know. So,
no,
but if I have
you're
something,
good,
I'll
sit there. All right, I appreciate it because, like I said, I will just keep running my yapper, and I don't want to do that. I, you know, you came on here to talk and get to know some of these fighters like me, and you know, with that, I think we have another fighter here. We have Eli McLaughlin coming on tonight, and if I pronounce that incorrectly, I apologize, Eli. So, are you there, my friend?
Yes, sir, I'm here, and you said it right.
I said it right, Eli McLaughlin. All right, fair enough. Eli, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. So we got a big fight coming up. We're going to talk about Saturday, September 28th, very soon, I promise. But just like when I had Jamie out, I want to get to know you a little bit. I want to apologize because I've never seen you fight. I've never seen V3 fights. I promise I'm going to catch up on them because it sounds like a great promotion. But tell me a little bit about Eli McLaughlin.
All righty. Well, I just, you know, my free time.
Good job.
My dad.
It's like a job interview. Sorry, brother. It's just like a job interview. You know. Tell me a little about yourself. Tell me why you want to work here. No. Listen, we're really relaxed. So if you just want to say, I want to talk about me, we'll talk about something else. I promise. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I've been just pretty much my life. Fighting is what I've been doing since I was little. I got into it when I was 10, and I mean, I freaking love doing it. I meet great people
sure.
doing it. Traveled all over it, and so really, there's not a whole bunch to be honest. It's just fighting, and then I go to school. I work on computers for school, so I'm a computer nerd on the side.
Wow, it's so crazy. It's like that's like night and day to me. You know, you would think of a computer guy. You know, I think a computer guy with the glasses and the sitting behind the keyboard warrior kind of thing. And you're like, you really are a keyboard warrior, dude. You really beat ass. So, how did you get into the fighting? Was it boxing that brought you in? Was it MMA? Was it Muay Thai? What got you in the game?
It just started out with kickboxing actually.
Sure.
My dad, he was trained. The closest gym to us back when I was about 10 years old was an hour away. He would go rock, train for an hour, come home, show me all the stuff he had learned, and just got me hooked from there. So I just begged him to join. I started traveling the hour trip with him, and what got me into it. And then took off on it together after years and years of learning.
So your dad fights him. He competes in MMA too, or is he strictly kickboxing?
Yes, sir. He does. He's done kickboxing too, and just straight
okay.
just two matches. Actually, a pro. Yeah, in a couple of years.
Is that kind of your? I don't want to say your favorite, or is that what you're strongest in? Is that the kickboxing kind of the side of it? That's where. I guess what I'm asking is, do you like to stand and fight, or do you, you want to be on the ground throwing dudes in?
Submission? Oh, okay. No, that's cool if you call it my favorite, because that's exactly what it is. And people know it's my favorite. I like to stand up and bang with somebody. That's what, I feel like most people like to see if you get in there and you throw down with somebody. It's just exciting. And that's where I feel the most comfortable.
Sure. Yeah, it's just like baseball. Everybody wants to see the home run. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to see a knockout in combat sports. So I appreciate, wanting to stand and bang with people. Now, do you feel being on the ground is somewhere where, and I don't want to give you any your secrets, but do you feel that's something you need to train a little bit more with, or is that something you're working on in camp, or you want to stay away from that aspect of talking about it?
Oh, no, that's all right. No, I train ground all the time. I train it just as much as my kickboxing. It's just not my preferred go-to method. But, I mean, I don't let that get to me if I'm in there in the cage and, something happens and I realize, hey, I need to take this to the ground, or there's a submission here. I need to take this to the ground and end it this way. Then that's what I go for.
Sure.
But if the opportunity's there to keep it on the feet, that's what I want to do.
Sure. So you're not opposed. You're not opposed to being on the ground. You're not like a fish out of water when you're on the ground. So is what you're telling me.
Exactly.
All right. Fair enough. Sorry.
Hey, Eli. How do you feel about coming into this title fight coming up on September 28th?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the end of that.
How do you feel coming into this title fight you have?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I just have so much momentum. I feel like I've built up these past few wins, and I feel like my performance is just getting better and better as it goes. My training camp's getting better and better as it goes, and I'm just real excited. I'm pumped to get to fight Jaleel. Everybody around knows he's at the top of our era. I'm really looking to take this to the next level, go pro. And to do that, you have to test yourself and fight the best guys in the area. So I'm looking forward to it.
Now, I know Jaleel is, if I'm correct, he's undefeated. And are you planning on trying to stand up and bang with him, or are you going to try to take him to the ground, or what's your game plan?
Yes, sir. I think he's 7-0, 8-0, something like that. He is undefeated. And as far as the game plan goes, I just get in there. I feel like I'm well-rounded enough, as well as most people I fight are well-rounded enough, that I just go in there and I'm comfortable on the feet, I'm comfortable on the ground. And it's hard to game plan exactly what you want to do because there's just so many things that can happen in there, so many variables you can't control, that I just do my best to prepare feet, ground, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and I just kind of go with it, you know?
Yeah, you know, I kind of like what you said there about the game plan. Everybody has a game plan. That's like what I believe Mike Tyson said. It said, everybody has a game plan until they get in the face, all right? So,
yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That is exactly right. Hey, Eli, let me ask you. Is there? I know Jaleel is. You know, I mean, clearly he's the champion. So, you know, he's. I don't know how many holes this man has in his game. But let me ask you a question. Is there ever a time? Maybe not with this fight with Jaleel. You know, because the transition might be so much quicker and things like that. But are there times in fights when you were sitting there and you know in your head that you've broken this man, or you know that he can't stop you in X, Y, Z, you know, he can't stop you on the ground, he can't stop your kicks. And is there a time, or is it moving so fast that it's just muscle memory for you, or can you step back away from it and say, I got this guy, there's nothing he can do that's going to beat me?
It's a little bit of both. You know, there's been moments where I've gotten caught up in it. Actually, my first couple of E3 fights, I feel like I could have probably gotten some finishes, but I just got so excited that it's like what you're saying. I just got caught up in the moment, and I'm just sitting there throwing, and not paying attention to the way I was throwing things, and
sure.
Kind of took a step back from that these last few, and I look for the opportunities. It's something that, you know, is really hard to do. You get in there, and you got a guy and you're wrecking him. You just get so caught up that you don't stop and think and look and say, hey, there's an opening here, there's an opening here.
Sure.
You just want to go in for the kill. And that
sure.
means throw everything hard as fast as you can. But these last couple, I've kind of I've done better about that, taking a step back, taking a breather, and it's like, hey, I've got this situation controlled. This guy's not going to get me with anything. And then, you know, you look for a finish. So, and my last three have been finishes. So that's kind of starting to come into play a lot more.
Now they say in like basketball that practice speed is nowhere near game speed. And I've never been in a cage. I've never been in a ring. Is that kind of the way it is? Like, you can train as much as you want, but when you're able to step back and you're able to pull yourself out of that situation and say, I have this situation under control, is that something that comes with just with as much practice as you had, or just, you know, time in the ring, just, you know?
Okay. To me, the practice, you can practice, and you're never going to get that same rush that you get when you're out there in front of an audience. And so just this is me personally. I don't know how it affects other people. I get so excited because the crowd's getting so excited, and that's what I was talking about, that I had to overcome and take a step back and kind of step back out of that moment and catch myself and see these different holes. So I don't feel like it's something that practice is going to make me better at, because, I mean, I practice all the time and practice hard.
I guess what I was wondering was maybe in cage experience. I would get so caught up in the moment myself. I can just see me out there here in the crowd and just being so caught up with that. But I guess what I'm trying to ask, you know, the long and short of it is, the more time you spend in the cage and the more time you hear those fans and see the lights and you know, things like that, the more experience you get in the cage probably makes you more able to step back and say, I got this fight.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And the odd thing is, you know, around here where I live in Arkansas, there's shows, and, you know, we put on some good shows here in Arkansas, but You know, so I've knocked off some cage runs here, but then you go over to a show like Rin 3, and it's, you know, 3, 4, 5 times the size of anything I'm used to. So there were some jitters I had to overcome.
Sure.
Hey,
sure. Eli,
I know you said earlier you was planning to go pro soon. If you win this title, how many more fights do you think you'll have as an amateur, or are you going to give up the title and go pro?
I want to defend it a few times. I can't put an exact number on that for you. My dad, he's my coach. He makes those decisions. And, you know, I put full trust in him on when the time is right. Because he's there to take care of me, you know. He doesn't want to turn me pro too soon. But I know that we're going to try and defend it a couple times at least.
Interesting. Is it difficult to work for your dad? I'm just thinking about that. I had a question lined up, but that kind of was interesting to me. Is it? I don't want to say difficult to work for your dad, because in essence you're kind of working for your. I mean, you're working for yourself, but in essence you're really kind of working for your dad. Is it kind of difficult to work for dad, or is it like do you guys have a decent enough relationship where he can say, I think we should do this, and you're like, okay, cool, let's do that, Dad.
Well, you know, there's been times where we've gotten into, you know, some arguments, but that just comes with being around each other so much, and, you know, just it's a pretty high-stress situation getting ready to go in there and get punched in the face.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do your best to punch someone in the face. So we've had our disagreements, but the thing is, my dad is, like, my best friend, you know. When something happens like that, I step back and it's like, hey, I should have listened to you on this, or he'll step in and he'll say, hey, I should have said it like this, and, you know, we take it from there. So nothing ever serious.
Sure. You know, we got you on here to talk, obviously, about your career, but I want to talk about this event coming up here. Now, I understand that you have a brother who was also on this card. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. My little brother. He's going to be the first fight of the night, actually.
Is this his first fight ever, or has he fought previous?
Oh, he's fought previous. He's 4-4 or 5-4 right now. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. He's the first fight of the night. You're the last fight of the night. Now let me ask you this. What kind of emotions go through your are you going to be going through? I mean, because you're clearly going to be wanting to be supportive of your brother, and you're going to be on a kind of an emotional roller coaster with him, then you're going to have to step back, and you're going to have to get yourself prepared, get yourself in the zone, per se. I mean, it's so cliche, but you have to step back and get yourself ready for your fight. Is that going to take a little bit out of you? Had you guys ever fought on the same card before, so you know what is going to be going on?
Right. Yeah, that's an awesome question, actually, because we just talked about this today, me and him. We fought on the same card a few different times now, and every time fight on the same card, whichever one of us is fighting before the other night, that night, we can't watch it. We just, you know, we walk out with each other, we give each other hugs, say, hey, good luck, love you, get in there and do your thing. But you're right, it's such an emotional roller coaster, and when I watch him, I get the same adrenaline build up like if I'm in the cage myself. So I just have to turn my head and let him do his thing, and you know, get the results at the end when he comes back in.
Yeah, I can imagine. My sister, I only have a sister, and, you know, I don't know, we've never, you know, fought together, but I mean, I'm supportive of her, and when she does things, I get excited for her. I just couldn't imagine, you know, like, being across the ring from a guy who wants to pummel my head in and being super excited for her. So, I mean, that's just crazy. So, this event is going to be televised, you know, through the iPay-per-views on GFL.tv. Is that something that you think about in the back of your mind? Is this the first time you're going to be fighting on kind of a televised event, or are you used to the camera jitters, I guess?
Like I said, when I first moved up into V3, it kind of affected me a little bit, and I've calmed down over it now. And I mean, it's something that, yeah, it's in the back of my mind. It's awesome. The more people that see me, the better. So, you know, I'm happy about it, and I love what they do, you know.
Sure, yeah. No, I'm going to watch this event. I feel terrible that I haven't seen V3. I've heard nothing but great things about the organization. I mean, is it an organization that, you know, has treated you decently and that you enjoy fighting for, or is it, you know, kind of been a burden for you? I don't want you to burn bridges here with this question. I'm not trying to bait you into anything, you know, any controversy. I'm just wondering, you know, because there are organizations out there that don't treat their fighters with very much professionalism and whatnot. So I'm kind of curious how you feel about the organization as a whole.
Right. It's a big difference from what goes on here in Arkansas. The shows here, they do the same. They treat you great, but there's just so much more, bureaucracy about everything. That,
sure.
You know, we might show up somewhere at 2:00 for a weigh-ins, and they don't get started till 5:00. And, gets old. And it's nothing, you know, that they can really do to improve as the promoters. But V3, as far as they've gone, I freaking love the show, you know, and that's why I've continued to go back, and why my dad tries to get more and more of our guys from our gym on their shows. They always take real good care of us, and our big thing is just we like to get started on time, you know. If something's going to happen at 7:00, hey, we get there at 7:00, it gets started at 7:05, and it's done at 7:15. It rolls through. So they've always done a really good job about taking care of us and, you know, building us up. If we come in and we put on an exciting show for them, they also, you know, put us out there and get our names out there, which is awesome.
Eli, I know that V3, they like to promote, get their promotion out there, you know, for everybody to be able to see it. And I noticed that they had a billboard sign with your picture and everything on it. How does that make you feel about people noticing you and everything?
You know, I'm not going to lie. I get excited every time I see that thing. I've got a picture saved in my phone because people ask me if I go to school with or just, you know, family and friends, and I'll pull it up and I say, yeah, I'm fighting September 28th. Check this out. I'm on the billboard. And my fiance, she's seen it so much now, she's like, your head's going to be the size of that freaking billboard as much as you pull your phone out and show everybody. So, but, yeah, I freaking love it, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's pretty awesome. I got to be honest with you. I probably would have a T-shirt made with the billboard right in the front of it and just be like, that's pretty sweet. Now, let me ask you said you got a fiance. Has she been there through the ride with you of all the MMA, or have you picked her up along the way? Is she an MMA girl herself? You know, what kind of support do you get there?
Okay. She's my high school sweetheart, and we've been together for 6 years now, so she's been through it all, and she's very supportive.
Cool.
You know, she gets nervous when I fight, obviously, but she understands that it takes a lot of my free time, and she's always there to back me on it. And she hasn't competed MMA. She's done some jiu-jitsu competition and done great there, and she still comes in and trains with us occasionally. So, you know, she loves it, and she lets me do my thing, so it's great.
Yeah, I mean, then that's somebody you want to marry, my man. Honestly, you know, you sounds like you made the right choice, that, you know, somebody that lets you live your dreams and is supportive. So, you know, best of luck with that. I've been married 9 years, so good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you. I couldn't agree more on that.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you a little bit about Jaleel Willis. What kind of fighter is he in, you know, what kind of, you know, I don't want you to give away too much because, you know, I'm sure he's listening to the program tonight at 10:00 on a Saturday night, 11 o'clock. Let me know a little bit about Jaleel Willis. What kind of fighter he is and what you expect to see from him on September 28th.
Okay, you know, everybody from around here knows Jaleel's freaking explosive. He's quick, athletic, and he comes in and he throws heavy hands. He's got some heavy hands and some really good wrestling. So, and that's what he'll do. He'll take people down. He'll pick them up, get a big slant, and then just ground and pound them out or knock them out as on top. So, you know, I've just been really working my sprawls, footwork, things like that to get ready for it. which is no different than what I already normally work. Just, you know, keeping the hands up, looking out for his big, he throws a big, big right hand. He's caught a few people with that. So, you know, Jalil's a good fighter. He's well-rounded. That's not his only strengths, but those are, like, his big key points, and everybody has seen him fight knows that.
Well, it sounds
so
like,
I don't feel like I'm
like,
giving anything up.
No, it sounds like it's I mean, this is a very stylistically great matchup, and you like to stand and bang. He likes to stand and bang. It sounds like a win-win for everybody, including the fans. So I think it sounds like these three kind of got it right with the matchmaking. So you got to kind of be excited that you're going to have a chance to showcase some of your most powerful skills in a title fight, right?
Oh yes, sir. You know, it's a big stage, and you get to put on an exciting fight on such a big stage. I couldn't be more pumped about it.
Hey, Eli, we had a message come in that saying that your dad picks out your walkout songs. Is that true?
Actually, he picks out for everybody on the team, but me. And just recently, my brother let him start picking out his. But, yeah, I can't let him do that. He picks some off-the-wall goofy stuff, and I can't handle it. He'll have me walking out to some culture club. Do you really want to hurt me? He's done that to our guys before, and I can't handle that. He's too much for me sometimes.
You know, I that's good stuff because, I mean, you know, you got to kind of keep it lighthearted. You get yourself too worked up. You're going to be puking, on the walkway, walking up there. You know, you get yourself all worked up.
Yeah.
But culture club, do you really want to hurt me? I think it's fitting. I think that's kind of cool. So, Eli, my man, listen, it's been great. Before I let you go, I want to talk. I want you to give everybody a chance. Let everybody know where they can find you on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever you got. Thank your sponsors. You know, whatever you got to do. I mean, you got a big fight coming up, my man. You got a couple minutes here to. You know, to thank those who've helped you along the way, and
I'd love to plug yourself. Them in real fast. First off, Game Changer Clothing, I got to thank them. They designed my walkout shirt. They've sponsored quite a few guys from my team. They're always very supportive, and you know they do. So thank you guys. Anybody out there listening, check them out on Facebook. Got a shop. It's Game Changer Clothing. They're great people and do great work and really push amateur MMA here in the South. So thanks to them. I got to thank Iron Jaw Custom Mouth Guards. One of my V3 fights, actually, against Zach Wallace. I got knockout of the night. These guys hooked me up with a custom-fitted mouth guard, dental-fitted mold. Normally $150, $200, something like that. I wouldn't be able to get something like that right now. And they gave me one for free. And I freaking love it, and I haven't been able to say thanks to them yet publicly. So, guys, I freaking love it. It's so much better than a boil and bite mouthpiece. Thank you for that. And then just last thing, where people can find me, you know, I'm on Facebook, Eli McLaughlin, Instagram and Twitter. You guys can find me at Eli McLaughlin. So just keep it real simple for everyone.
Very cool. That's so funny. Makes me kind of giggle a little bit that the boil and bite mouth guards because I, you know, used to burn my mouth and garbage like that when I was playing football. I know exactly what you're going to. Eli, go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry. Before we let him go, go ahead, bud.
Hey, Eli, I just want to let you know that I'll be at V3 September 28th. I hope to get some good pictures and I hope to get an interview with you. And it's going to be awesome.
Thank you, man. I'm freaking pumped. It is going to be awesome, you know. It's going to be an exciting, not just for myself. I've seen the card, and it's a stack of fights, and I'm pumped to be a part of it. I'm pumped to be the main event on it.
Absolutely. Eli, listen, my man, you got 2 weeks out. You know, I wish you the best of luck. I'm going to be watching. I know a lot of us are going to be watching down here. You do me a favor, come back on the show after you win the title, and we can talk about how it felt to get that strap wrapped around your waist.
Yes, sir. I'd love to.
All right, man. Good luck to you, Eli. I wish you all the best, bud, all right?
Thanks, fellas. Y'all have a good night.
All right. Man, I'll tell you what. I've never been a fighter, and we all know that, Carl. I say it 100 times. But, you know, to talk to some of these kids that are coming into, like, the pinnacles of their lives, and they're, you know, they're starting to realize their dreams and things, you know, you got to get kind of fired up for these guys. And I know I know. I talk forever, but I think we got some more people who are paying our electric bill, so we need to thank them. Carl, you got anybody in mind?
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Well, as much as I love Intimidation Clothing, I know MMA Madhouse supports local MMA probably as well as them. Right, Carl? How are we doing over there, man? You still with us or you fall asleep on me? He's asleep on me. He's probably actually trying to get JT. We have JT Top Tropics up next. We talked earlier in the show about he's a promoter, a DJ out of Canada, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He's also the media public relations director for Team Punishment, which is Tito Ortiz. So I'm looking forward to – he's got a big party, a one-year anniversary party coming up and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to pick his brain a little bit, things like that. But, Josh, so what do you think so far, man? We got your first radio event, and what do you think so far, man?
Oh, man, I'm loving this. This is awesome. I got great expectations out of MMA Madhouse in the future, you know. I love the group, and I hope we can all just keep working with each other in the future.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more, man. I've been with MMA Madhouse for a little over a year. I've done some different work for them throughout the times, and, you know, they're very professional. They've treated me great. They've given me opportunities that I never would have been able to have on my own. So I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. I really couldn't. Yeah, I'm really kind of jealous that, you know these guys. You're talking to these guys, and you know, you're going to be at the event on the 28th. So I'm really kind of jealous. So what number event is this going to be for you?
This will be, let's see, I believe this will be my fourth or fifth event for me.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, that's very cool. And it seems like V3 is a cool organization, and it's something I'm definitely going to watch on the 28th. But without further ado, I'm very excited to talk to this man. JT Tropics is the CEO for Inner City Agency. He is, again, he is a promoter, a nightclub promoter up in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He is the social media manager for Punishment Athletics. I mean, this guy's got, he wears many hats, so I'm looking very forward to picking his brain. JT, you out there, my friend?
Yeah, brother, I'm here.
How are you, my man?
Good, man, just watching, getting ready to watch the Canelo Alvarez and Mayweather boxing match, very anticipated.
Yeah. Absolutely, no, I got it on DVR, so if you see anything crazy, I was going to sit and watch it while I'm doing the show, but I just can't. I'm up and walking around outside my driveway. So, JT, tell me a little bit about yourself, man. You're very, you wear many hats, and you're very, you post a lot of things out there. You got a lot of people looking at you. Some big name people. You know, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started, my man.
Well, everybody in the MMA world knows my allegiance to Tito Ortiz. He's the man who gave me my opportunity in this business.
Okay.
About three years now I've been working for Tito. I'm his social media manager for Punishment Athletics. So once, you know, we formed our bond and our, you know, our business relationship, basically everything else has fallen in line. You know, I've been working with some of the biggest names in MMA / the UFC, and it's all because of his opportunity that he gave me.
Sure. How did he give you that opportunity? Did you guys just kind of, you know, mutual friends, kind of bump into each other? Were you at an event? You know, tell me.
Well,
his
former sponsorship manager was a friend of mine, and then you know, he bridged the gap between the two of us, and the rest is pretty much history. You know, and then from there, I started the Inner Circle Agency with my partner here in Canada, and we bring in all the top level UFC stars to the city, and we show them, you know, a good time, set up seminars, VIP autograph sessions, dinners, nightclub after parties. And we work with Alistair Overeem, Rashad Evans, Vanderlei Silva, Frankie Edgar, Chris Cyborg. Bruce Buffer is coming next week to host my party. So we deal with the upper echelon of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So it's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, I guess it would be a lot of fun. It sounds like it's a lot of fun. Josh, did you have something for JT?
Yes. I know, how do y'all feel about the Tito Ortiz versus Quentin Rampage Jackson coming up in the Bellator pay-per-view?
Well, everybody knows they used to be training partners. And, you know, they have a good friendship with each other. It goes back many, many years. As you know, Rampage was one of the original members of Team Punishment. So it was difficult at first to set up a fight between the both of them. But, you know, they put the friendship aside. And on November 2nd, you're going to see a good fight because Tito is in shape. He's 100% healthy. He's got a very positive frame of mind right now. And, you know, Rampage is Rampage. He always brings it, so it's going to be very exciting, not only for Bellator, but for the true hardcore MMA fans.
You know, I'm excited for Tito because, you know, I mean, Tito's got a very storied career, and, you know, his trials and tribulations in the UFC and with some of the, you know, with some of the management or whatever up there. But, you know, I appreciate Tito. He's done a lot of work. He's come a long way, and I really, you know, he's very public, and I'm very excited for him. I've heard, you know, I clearly do not know Tito like yourself, but I've heard that, you know, he is 100%. I'm very excited to see 100% Tito, and you know, I think we're going to get a good fight, and I'm really looking forward to this fight.
See, what a lot of people don't realize, and there's a lot of people that sit behind their computers and talk crap all day long. Tito Ortiz was 15-4, his record up until that last loss to Chuck Liddell. After that, you know, his personal life had a lot of trials and tribulations. And when you don't have a good personal life at home, things, you know, are a little bit awkward, and your training and your mental state are affected. Now that his personal life is cleared up and he's in a good frame of mind, you're going to see a different animal. You're going to see a beast unleashed inside there. And people who sit on the outside who don't know will understand on November the 2nd. That's all I have to say. Put in the work.
No, I agree with it. I agree with that 100%, JT, and I really, you know, I appreciate that point. You know, like I said, he was very public in some of his personal life issues that were going on with him and Jenna at the time, and, you know, that seems to be cleared up. You know, the boys seem to be happy, and I see a lot of stuff on Twitter and stuff, so I really, truly, as a father of two boys myself, I couldn't be happier for the guy. I really couldn't, and, you know, he's never done anything wrong to me, so, you know, I mean, I wish him all the best, so that was very well said, I think, JT.
What a lot of people don't understand is... A lot of people don't understand is the guy's got a heart, and he does a lot of stuff with the U.S. military. He's very giving with the U.S. military, and he does a lot of charity work and stuff like that. A lot of people don't know. They just see one side of him, but the other side, he gives a lot, and he's got a lot of heart. He's just a very misunderstood individual, and if you get to know the real Tito Ortiz, then you'll understand why I'm behind him 150%, through the good and through the bad. That's all I got to say on that.
Sure. The Inner Circle Agency. I didn't realize. I didn't realize that's what you guys did. Was bring, you know, people in, kind of host parties and things like that. I knew you were a nightclub promoter. A nightclub promoter and things like that. How did that become your work, your dream? How did you get involved with you know, kind of putting on these elaborate parties?
Well, here in Toronto from 1996. Up until 2009, I was one of the most successful nightclub promoters in the city. I built up the nightclub scene here in Toronto with a few other gentlemen. You know, then I went on from nightclub promoting to being a nightclub owner. So my ties are very deep into the entertainment business here in our city. Toronto is the Mecca of Canada when it comes to entertainment. So my roots are very deep. I got a lot of connections in the business with the right people. So I intertwined what I'm doing with the Inner Circle Agency to what I was doing in the nightclub industry, and, you know, it's hand in hand. My parties are legendary, and you can ask any one of my clients, Rashad and Alistair and Frankie, Cyborg, they'll tell you they have never been treated the way they've been treated when they come to Toronto, the way I do it. It's limousines, the best restaurants, the best hotels, the best parties, the best service. And it's just the way we do business. We treat these guys the way they should be treated, with respect. Because anybody who gets into an octagon or a ring, they're a champion already. Not anybody can go and fight. And if you go and you fight, I don't care if you're a champion or you're a normal individual, you have balls and you need respect. That's all I have to say.
Let me jump in here, guys. And I just want to say I'm going to have to jump off here and really greatly appreciate y'all having me on the show tonight. And I can't wait till next week to get some more V3 fights, interviews in and stuff like that. But I'm going to have to get off here. So please, just thanks for having me on the show tonight, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Jeff. JT, I want to get back to that for sure. Now, when these guys come in, I'm really kind of floored by what you just said, that, you know, I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around, you know, having this dream and saying, you know, I owned a nightclub. I was a DJ or, you know, as well, a very influential.
No, I wasn't
DJ.
I wasn't a DJ. I was a promoter, host, and an owner.
I apologize. Yeah, I apologize to you. But let me just ask you: you own a nightclub. You kind of have the workings. You know that kind of stuff. How do you say I'm going to take? You know, I'm assuming you enjoy MMA. How do I take my love for MMA and I'm going to bring it together? I mean, walk me through that process of you and your partner saying, you know, we can do this, and we're going to put on some of the biggest parties and events. With some of the, you know, the creme de la creme of MMA, UFC, you know, things like that. Tell me that conversation.
4 years ago, when I wanted to get into the mixed martial arts world, coming from the nightclub world, you know,
sure.
Anybody in the MMA world were like, "Who the hell is this guy? You know,
sure.
What the hell does he know about mixed martial arts?" You know, so trying to get in from the entertainment business into the mixed martial arts world, people are like, you know, we can't take this guy seriously. But I said, you know what? No problem. I will show these people what I'm made out of. And I didn't stop. And I got the opportunity to do the social media for Tito Ortiz. And I started working for him at pretty much the lowest point of his career, when the UFC supposedly were going to, you know, kick him out. His contract was done. He was supposed to lose to Ryan Bader. He comes back, he destroys Ryan Bader, and then all of a sudden his stock goes right up, you know. And Tito Ortiz was my favorite fighter when I was, you know, working in the nightclub business. You know, 1999 to 2003 was his reign when he was the light heavyweight champion. At that time, you know, I was really deep into the business. I didn't have time to focus on my MMA business. I didn't have any time. It was just in the nightclub constantly. And I said, one day, this is what I want to do. The timing had to be right, and the rest is history, you know? So,
yeah, it's just incredible to me. I'm born and raised in Buffalo, New York, and you know, I live down here in Florida, and I've been to Toronto numerous times. I think it's a great city, and I've been to some of the nightclubs up there, and it's just incredible. And, it's funny. I wonder, I'm thinking back now, if we've ever bumped, you know, if I've ever been to some place that you were putting on an event or whatever. So, but it's just an incredible business venture to me that the two worlds could you know, be combined. And, you know, I always know that there's the after parties and everybody's there and it's a big, you know, hoopla and things like that. But very cool, very interesting.
The after parties that we do are, you know, they're very first class. The locations that we do it at, I work exclusively with Music. And Music is the best nightclub in the city of Toronto. You know, so the service and the vibe and the whole atmosphere of the way we do things, it's on a true fight, you know, first class level. Just ask the clientele, man. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, no. I mean, I believe I have no reason to not believe. I just tell how. So you start working for Tito Ortiz when the lowest point of his career. How do you get involved with the social media aspect? Does he say, you know, we need this kind of, you know, this is up and coming and, you know, you seem like you got your head on straight, we'll do this? Or, you know, how does that come about?
Well, I got really fed up of, you know, reading all the bullshit online, people constantly bashing him and talking crap about him constantly. And I said, you know what, there's no positivity around Tito Ortiz. It's constant negativity. For a guy who's put his life on the line for that company and was a five-time champion, you know, everyone keeps forgetting UFC 40, the Vendetta event with Ken Shamrock. That event single-handedly boosted the UFC into mainstream America. Those two individuals, Tito and Shamrock, did it. People don't remember that. The new Zuffa fan, after the Ultimate Fighter Season 1, all of a sudden all these people now are big fans. They know what the hell's going on. Without a strong foundation, you can't have a good house. And a strong foundation is based with men like Tito and Shamrock and Couture and Frank Shamrock, you know, the early guys who put this company on their shoulders and bled and sweat and didn't make the money they should be making. And a lot of people don't remember that. And a lot of people forget that. So the new generation needs to understand the UFC would not be where it is today if it was not for men like Tito and the rest I spoke of.
You know, it's funny you bring those specific people up, JT, because those seem to be the people that right now some of the UFC brass are kind of bashing. You know, Frank Shamrock.
Of course they're bashing.
Of course they're bashing
all these guys because Ken Shamrock and Frank Shamrock and Randy Couture and Rampage and Tito, they have a voice. They speak out.
Yep.
They say what they feel.
Yep.
They're not a bunch of, you know, ass kissers. They say what they have to say. That's the difference between them and the rest of the people. They're not afraid to say what's on their mind. And they take a lot of ridicule because of that. Oh, they're washed up and they're pussies and they're broke and all of this bullshit that you hear on the internet. All these people who sit behind their computer all day, I dare them to go in front of any of these guys and talk the shit that they do to their face.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree with you more. And it's so funny that, you know, some of the What do they say? Be careful of the toes you step on today because it could be part of the feet you're kissing tomorrow or something like that. You know, I mean, really, truly, the way some of the operations have been throughout the UFC's history is that, you know, thanks for nothing. I mean, you helped me build this business into a multi-billion-dollar business, and now, you know, there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out. So, you know, it's very frustrating at times, you know, as I do love MMA myself, to see some of these fighters. And I would love to see, you know, some of these fighters get back in the cage, in the ring or whatever. And I'm very looking forward to November 2nd. It's very interesting to me that they're coming over to a different organization that may not be, you know, that may be finger quotes, the second level, and all these Zuffa zombies sit on there and just smash on Bellator. I couldn't think any, I couldn't give more praise to Bellator. I think they're a great organization. I've been to numerous events. I've talked to Bjorn numerous times. I think they're a great organization, and I'm looking very forward to November 2nd, JT.
Bjorn Rebney is a very nice gentleman, you know, and a lot of talent they have in Bellator, you know, Michael Chandler, Daniel Strauss, Pat Curran, Eddie Alvarez, they got some good fighters in that organization, you know.
Yeah.
So you can't bash Bellator because they're a number two organization. MMA, it's not, you know, a lot of people out there think the UFC is a sport. Mixed martial arts is the sport. The UFC is the organization. When I listen to people like, do you fight UFC? You moron, it's not a sport. It's an organization. Bellator deserves respect, just like the WSOF, just like all the smaller organizations. Everyone is here working towards the growth of mixed martial arts. Putting down somebody else is not going to make you grow. It's just going to hinder the growth of the sport. So I love Bellator. I don't care if it's a small organization. It's breeding the future of the sport, and everyone should be working together, not putting down each other.
I couldn't agree more with you, JT. It's funny that we have the same beliefs. Let me ask you a question, just a couple questions about Tito, if you don't mind. If you don't want to answer, please, JT, you're more than welcome to say, you know, I prefer not to talk about that. No, you know, no offense taken. So Tito's venture into management. Cyborg, he's got he's doing the management company now, and Cyborg's his biggest client, I feel.
Primetime 360, that's the name of the company.
That's correct, I'm sorry. How did he decide that this was something he'd be interested in doing, and how did he decide on, on Chris Cyborg. How did that come about? Do you know how that relationship forms?
They had met a couple years ago, I think at King's MMA. I'm not too sure. I think it was with Cordero. Tito,
sure.
and Cyborg were wrestling, and Cyborg picked him up and dropped him. And he was like, oh, my God, a woman just picked me up and dropped me. Like, this is serious business here. And they formed a relationship. They trained a couple times together at his place in Big Bear. And, you know, Cyborg went through all that craziness, you know, with the Strike Force suspension,
yep,
and blah, blah. She was, you know, at the lowest point of her career. I know Cyborg very well. She is one of the nicest, good-hearted women you'll ever meet. She's another person that's very misunderstood by the media. But if you get to know her, you'll be like, oh, my God, this woman is so nice. But there's a difference between Cyborg and Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate and Kat Zingano and the rest of them. Cyborg is a beast, and she lives and she breathes MMA day and night. She trains nonstop. And this Friday, I don't think that a lot of people don't realize, she's fighting this Friday, September 20th in Vegas, for her first ever Muay Thai title. So she's fighting Muay Thai, and she's fighting in MMA. That's how crazy it is.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's very interesting. It's, you know, she is a very polarizing character. You know,
polarizing, dude. She's a beast. That's all I can tell you.
No, I agree. I what I'm saying is, you know, you see this Chris Cyborg, and you know, she's a, you know, larger woman, and she's very muscular, and you know, she has the appearance that not many. Not many women have, to be honest. And, you know, you get a lot of, again, like you said it before, keyboard warriors that don't know her and, you know, make pass judgments on her and stuff. So it's just very interesting to me that, you know, that Tito ventured into that, into the management. Now, does he want to branch out and have more fighters, or is he just going to focus on Cyborg's career?
Cyborg right now is the top client in the stable, but he's looking for individuals that are willing to build a brand. Because the problem is, a lot of fighters, after they retire, they don't know what the hell to do.
Sure.
And the difference between a fighter and a superstar is building your brand. After you fight, you have to transcend yourself into commercials or acting or something different. And very few fighters have been able to make that transition. Randy Couture has done it very well. Gina Carano is starting to do it. Rampage has already done it. Tito is doing it. Frank Shamrock is doing it, but there's a lot of guys out there that you don't even hear of. And
right.
If you look at the UFC, for instance, Chuck Liddell has been retired now for a while after Rich Franklin knocked him out. Matt Hughes has been retired for a while ever since BJ Penn finished him off, or I can't remember his last fight was with Koscheck. You don't hear anything about these guys afterwards because they don't have that brand. The UFC pushes those guys constantly, but the guys who build their brands, there's very few of them. So Tito is looking for guys who want to build that brand outside of fighting. And that's the difference between just a fighter and a transcending superstar.
You know, JT, this has been a very interesting conversation for me. And I want to tell you something very publicly. I want to be real honest with you. I don't want to say I judge the book by the cover. When people look at your Twitter page, you have tattoos and you have long hair and sunglasses, and you know, you're very loud, I would say, is a, you know, just by appearance. And I want to maybe apologize a little bit, because this conversation we had, I didn't know what to expect, but this conversation was very, I really enjoyed this conversation, JT, and I would love to have you back on after your event to promote you some more, and I would like to maybe stick around a little bit and do some work together, kind of back and forth, if we could ever figure something out. But I really want to say that you're very well spoken. And you're not just coming in saying, I'm a big promoter and I run the nightclubs and stuff. So I want to say I think you're doing a great thing, and I really think that you got your head wrapped around this very well, and I think you're going to be going places, my brother. And you know, so I just wanted to say that very publicly. So
I appreciate that. You know, and a lot of people, I heard this from Alistair Overeem out of his own mouth too, and I heard it from Rashad Evans. They said, man, when we met you, you know, you look one way, but then you open your mouth and you're another way. And, you know, I'm
exactly
a very educated individual and very successful because of the way that I am. So people can look at me and say one thing, but it's the complete opposite. But one thing I was always raised with and I will always give is respect. Because at the end of the day, if you don't know how to respect people, you're not going to get it back. And that's the difference between people that go somewhere and the people that stay in the same place for the rest of their life. That's the difference.
Absolutely, JK. That's very well said. And again, I'd like to have you back on and talk about your party on the 20th. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what's going on the 20th?
Friday, September the 20th is the one-year anniversary of the Inner Circle Agency, and it's right before UFC 165 here in Toronto. And Bruce Buffer, everyone knows Mr. Buffer, the voice of the Octagon, he's going to be hosting the party for me, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a great, great night. You know, the pictures will do the talking. And then on Saturday night, it's a very, very big night for Punishment Athletics, because you guys realize if John Jones wins on Saturday night in Toronto against Alexander Gustafsson, he will become the number one light heavyweight of all time, surpassing Tito's record of 5 title defenses.
That's correct, yes.
It's a very, very, very big weekend, so I'm looking forward to it, and I want to thank you guys for, you know, supporting what I'm doing and what the brand is doing.
Absolutely, JT. You know what? I really, you know, like I said, I was just talking to Carl off, you know, in our little chat, and I was just like, man, this is a really enlightening conversation, and I really want to thank you for coming on and kind of opening our eyes to, you know, I hope a lot of people have listened to your words with Tito, about Tito, and really you're going to, you know, kind of give the guy a break, man. The guy, you know, he deserves some respect, and, you know, he's gone through a lot of shit, man. Jenna, you know, I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but Jenna's put him through some shit, man. You know, she's kind of slandered his name a little bit and things like that, but, you know, I hope in the future that stuff gets worked out for him and those boys especially. So, JT, I really, really want to thank you for coming on, man. I'd love to have you back on eventually. How's that? We do that again?
Sounds good, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great evening.
All right. JT, you too, man. Thanks. JT Tropp, it's from Inner Circle Agency and Punishment Athletics. Carl, I got to be 100% honest with you, man. I had a really – that was a really fun interview for me, really fun conversation.
Yeah, I was – oh, excuse me. Jeez, I've been quiet for so long, my voice died on me.
You're sleeping, though.
That was a fabulous interview, yeah. Glad you hooked him up for us, man.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because I actually saw him. You know, the reason I even bothered looking at him because somebody was giving him a hard time, yelling at him online or something. And, you know, I was like, who is this guy? He looks, you know, I mean, like I just said to him, you know, I kind of judged the book by the cover. And, he, you know, he looks the part of a I didn't give him a chance to tell where they could find him on Twitter and Facebook. So next time I'll have to do that. But he very much looks the part of a nightclub promoter. And I was half expecting to get that, like, used car salesman kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, super, super hyper and, you know, shop at my place and things like that. But very well spoken, very knowledgeable of Tito. I mean, it's not, you know, he clearly knows who he is and things like that. So it's very interesting for me. So that was a good conversation for me. I think tonight we have a long-awaited but do we need to pay any more bills, Carl? Here I am just rambling on and on and on. Do we need to pay any more bills?
Yeah, we probably should. Let's do that.
Yeah, we probably should.
Cast Iron Supplements only carries the strongest, most effective products on the market today. With free shipping in the U.S. and only $10 shipping on out-of-country orders, we stand behind the products we promote. For information on wholesale distribution of our lines, visit castironsupplements.com. Cast Iron Supplements. Strong. Rigid. Unyielding. Get Cast Iron Strong.
Cast Iron Supplements, another great company, another great you know, business venture that we are working with. And, you know, just, I mean, Carl, you and Skippy set up MMA Madhouse just with the best around. So, I mean, just another great company. Are they still doing free shipping to the United States? Are they still doing that? You know, I don't want to, if they're not, please correct me.
As far as I know, yeah, free shipping in the United States and $10 shipping, I believe, outside
outside of the state.
Yeah, outside of, you know, up here where I live.
up in the middle of nowhere, did I say? I think tonight we're having the long-awaited return of Bragg and Jimmy. I'm really looking forward to Bragg and Jimmy tonight. I haven't talked to them in a while, and they kind of pick my spirits up, and, you know, they're some goofy fellas, and I hope they got some new stuff to share with us. But you got anything before we get to Bragg and Jimmy?
Oh, no, not really, man. Let's give Bragg a call live on the air. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. I hope they're sitting hammered just at a bar somewhere.
In their car, out front of the bar, you mean?
Okay, like the first time you had them on, they were just smashed. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm sitting out in the car.
They're outside of the bar in our car.
Yes, exactly. Are you watching any of the GFL.TV fights tonight? Are you got them on in the background?
No, I don't. The team's working hard as hell, and, you know, I don't want to interrupt, all the streaming we've got going on. So, you know, the fewer we've got that aren't actually working and watching it, the better, really. So, I'm staying out of their way, and, you know, with GFL, you know, buy it once and watch it for life. So, you know, I can catch it all later.
You know, in GFL, if you want to call them, I want to talk a little bit about GFL. So if you want to call Bragg and Jimmy, we can do that. And I'll wrap a little bit about GFL because I really wanted to talk about them anyway. So,
Fly Otter, man. I'll get a hold of Bragg then.
All right. So GFL.TV, Carl, you know, you guys introduced me to them, I don't know, a couple months ago. But I got to be honest with you, man. You know, I was really very skeptical about, you know, local MMA fights streaming over the internet. You know what I'm thinking? All right, you know, kind of, again, judging a book by its cover. Because, you know, in the past, there's been numerous different streaming sites that just, you know, you can't be happy with. Because halfway through the stream, it goes down and, you know, things like that. But I get turned on to GFL.TV through MMA Madhouse. Skippy and Carl asked me to do a couple events with them. And not only the professionalism of the staff, because there, you know, there's been some issues in the past, and, you know, the staff has been right there to make it right and to fix it and things like that, but just the quality of the stream, the way things are done, how many events they have. I mean, these guys just work tirelessly. You know, they got to be like, well, Skippy and Carl kind of running around the countryside trying to figure out how they're going to get these different events, who they're going to talk to, how they're going to do it, and yada, 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 but just the way they present their company, the way they present the different streams is just incredible. So I just wanted to take a minute, and Carl was right, that you buy it once, you buy it today, because there's a ton of fights on today, there's a ton of fights on yesterday. You know, almost every day of the week, you probably find something on there. They do motocross, they do, you know, Muay Thai, they do boxing, they do, you know, all kinds of stuff, and it's cheap. You know, $10, $12 here and there. You're not paying $60 or $70 for a HD fight tonight or whatever, but you get it one time, it's saved into your account. It's not like DirecTV or the others where it disappears in, you know, 24 or 48 hours or whatever it is. You buy it today, you buy it yesterday, you can have it forever. So a great company. You know, this is – I was not told to talk about them like this, but this is something that – you know, something I really wanted to publicly say. They've been great. They've been great to me. And I know they're great to Skippy and Carl. So I just wanted to take a second to do that. I think maybe I'll talk a little bit like we're still waiting on Bragg and Jimmy. Who knows where these guys are? They could be in the middle of a cornfield somewhere drinking beers and bonfiring or something. But tonight, this is a huge sports weekend, just a huge sports weekend. There's a 3:30 today. There was a major college football game. You know, tonight is Full Guard Fight Radio. I mean, what else is on at this time of the night? Full Guard Fight Radio on a Saturday, you know, September 14th, besides, you know, the Canelo Alvarez, Floyd Mayweather fight. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about this. Like, you know, a lot of you know me. A lot of you know I'm kind of a goof, and I kind of just run around and yap and talk and whatever. But with the Canelo, with the fight that's going on tonight, I don't know boxing like I know MMA, like I know baseball. But to sit back and to see one man going to possibly make $100 million for, you know, what, 36 minutes of work just makes me sick. I mean, it really does. But, I think before we get too long, I think we have our special guest, Bragg and Jimmy. Are you fellas up
there?
Fellas, how are you, man? Oh, man, I'm choking on
this. What's going on, man?
Excited.
We've been listening to the show, and we actually heard you guys say, I hope they're sitting in a car outside a bar right now drunk, and guess what?
You almost
got it right. We are sitting out in a car, our DD's car, but it's one of our buddies' birthdays. We're over here getting tore up. So.
Fair enough, fellas. How have you guys been, man? It's been like almost a month and a half since I've had a chance to talk to my favorite fellas, Greg and Jimmy. But before we get too started, I saw today, can I get a Roll Tide? So
Roll Tide, baby. Woo, woo. Hell of a game.
It was a great game. It was a hell of a game. I enjoyed it. And I got to be honest, man, I thought Johnny Football was gonna make bring the Aggies back, but I'm not a huge Johnny Football fan, so I was very happy to see the outcome stay the way it did. So
I don't think many people in the nation are, but it was a hell of a game for sure.
It really was.
Absolutely. So now, whose birthday is it? Is it Casper's or what are your buddies' names? Casper's and Tweety or what are your buddies?
We got Bragg, Jimmy. And then we got Snowballs.
Whose birthday it is?
Oh, whose birthday it is?
Yeah.
Just a buddy of ours named Tyler. His 21st birthday, so we're over here celebrating.
Named Tyler? You got Brad, Jimmy, Snowball, and what was the other one, Twinkie?
Pinky.
Oh. And you guys hang out with a guy named Tyler. You can't come up with a name for this fella?
Well, we don't really see him that often. He's just just kind of a friend. He said the word party, so we have arrived.
I got some questions for you tonight, fellas. So what have we been up to lately within the last month and a half? Are we back in the studio? Are we doing anything new? We got anything going on? Fill me in on the last month of Bragg and Jimmy.
Well, actually, the last month, I guess you could pretty much just say we've been working on some music here and there. But last weekend, we actually had a big meeting with our artist production manager in Atlanta. And he's actually got us on a hell of a job. He wants us to complete 30 new songs by Thanksgiving. We're going to have another meeting, and we're going to start mixing down a mixtape, which should be released around the first of the year, sometime around January or February.
Very exciting. You guys, 30 new songs, that'll put you, 150, 200 songs? I mean, you guys got a bunch of songs, right?
Well, that'll put us at about 70, really, but it'll be actually 30, legit songs. But we're only going to take 10 of those, so.
Right. Go ahead.
Do what?
No, I'm just going to say, so then you take those 30 songs, you break it down to 10, you mix them up a little bit, and then you release the part, you release the album, and away you go. And then the sky's the limit for Bragg and Jimmy. Is that kind of the way we're going to do this, or is this like this record is going to be just kind of the beginning is another record?
Actually, these guys are actually going to help us push it out to different radio stations around the area, and they're going to push it out to labels. And I don't know what exactly will happen from then, but I guess we'll wait and see. But I do know they have connections. These guys have worked with big name people.
How did you guys find these, this record company or record production company? Is this friends of yours, or did you find them on the internet? What's the problem?
Well, actually, around March, spring break time, we went down to Panama City and we took like 500-600 CDs to send out to everyone, and we actually ran into this one guy named Nate. Shout out to Nate if you're listening. And he had connections with this guy, and he sent us over to Atlanta, which, it's about a four-hour trip. But we've made it over there about three times to have three different separate meetings. So, we're putting in work. We're putting some miles in for sure.
Yeah. Huh. Now, I got to know. When you guys travel to these miles and things, do we just stop off in random cities at different bars? Like, I have this mental picture of you two. I've seen you on YouTube. I've heard the music. I see the Twitter. And I just get, this mental picture. You guys just drive this party bus around everywhere. And you have, people hanging out the windows and, like you're dragging a pool behind you filled with Jello and women wrestling and stuff. Tell me, am I way off base here, guys?
Hey.
Am I like pretty?
You know what? If all of that stuff that you just named was legal, we would probably be doing it. I'm just saying.
So you guys, so
no,
we
play
law.
It safe.
All right.
We play it safe and stay out of trouble until it's time to, you know, when it's time to get
a
little crazy, we know how to do that as well.
I know, I've seen that, but I think, like, I just, you know, you guys make me laugh, and I look forward to talking to you because, you know, you're just doing it, man. You're just living the dream, and I just get this mental picture of, like, Bragg hanging out the window driving the bus and Jimmy just bouncing around out back. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just, it's just very cool stuff. So, now, listen, I got to know. You guys got over 17,000 followers on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
Who is your media manager? What are you guys doing to get these followers? I struggle to stay above 250. So can you give me a little shout-out of what in the hell you guys are doing?
Well, I don't even know what to say. Because most people assume, oh, you just go through and follow 10,000 people and then they follow you back. Well, no, if you follow a lot of people, your ass get blocked from Twitter. You can't do nothing. Yeah, they'll suspend you from Twitter if you try something like that. But they just keep coming, follow them back, and we just hit them back with a follow back, man. And @BraggingJimmy. Yeah. @BraggingJimmy, if you're listening, go.
The only official one, huh?
Yeah, that's the only one that gets tweeted, and yeah, that's it.
Right.
The other one, there's actually two. There's a Bragging Jimmy one and a Bragging Jimmy's one, and I have no idea who either one of them are.
Any new ladies in your fellas' lives, or are we still just, you know, playing the field?
Nah, man. Girls. Oh, girls. Bragg is good to go. Me, myself, Jimmy, I am single at the moment, but, you know, still keep around a good flank.
So over the last month, we haven't been doing any new songs. Man, I'm very not disappointed because I know you guys are doing other things and moving in different directions, but I was really looking forward to when Carl, you know, texted me today and said, Bragg and Jimmy confirmed for tonight. I was very excited. And, you know, I'm going to have to go on my I gotta be honest with you. I'll take a picture of it and I'll tweet it out to you. Anything else you guys want to talk about before I let you go? And we all go watch the fight. And you guys go back to drinking and picking up chicks.
Exactly.
I go watch the fight.
We're doing big stuff, man. We're
really busy.
We're staying busy, man. We're just a couple of white guys just trying to have fun and, you know. Everybody out there,
they want 30 damn songs.
They, you know, everybody, big shit's coming, big stuff popping. You know, we got some good things coming. A lot of singles coming out, hopefully soon. And we just working, man. That's all you gotta know is that we're working as hard as we can.
No, I appreciate that and I respect that, guys. I'm not trying to bust your balls, and I know we joke around and screw around a lot of times in here, but I know you guys are working hard, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't care if it's on iTunes or whatever, I'm going to go pick up your album as soon as I can, and I'm going to actually pay for it. I'm not going to pirate it, so I promise you I'll pay for it. When do you guys expect, you're thinking about, you know, maybe in a company, but what happens is, like, you guys go record, and then they just start, you know, mass producing this and sending it out everywhere, and then they throw you guys a release party, or what? I mean, what happens? I'm not an artist. I guess I'm just
To be honest, I don't know what's going to happen when we get that done, because we've never done it. Honestly, we're pretty much just getting started. And
yeah.
We've been doing it pushing 4 years.
But this is like your first official legitimate album. I mean, you guys got some music, but you've done all that yourself, right?
I mean, we've released songs to the public, but we've never actually made anything that was actually. I'm trying to think of the word.
We've never made like a legit song with like a beat that we're able to actually sell. Something that
we
could push. Yeah, pretty much just doing everything for the pretty much practice.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it, man. I understand. I you know, and I'm not trying to. I'm really not trying to put you in a spot. I'm really interested, and I'm really happy for you guys that, you know, it seems like you guys are making moves and big things are on the horizon here for Bragg and Jimmy. So I can't. I mean, you're gonna stay with Bragg and Jimmy. There's not gonna be another, you know, pet name that's coming. It's gonna be Bragg and Jimmy.
I'm pretty sure that's gonna be it, man. I mean, think about it. When you say it, it's just catchy as hell right then. Bragg and Jimmy. Okay. Bragg and Jimmy. It's just so easy. Bragg and Jimmy. Google. Bragg and Jimmy. What? There? Yeah. Google. Yeah.
Okay. Google it up. You can find me, Bragg and Jimmy, in the cup. Drunk in the car. We all getting crunk. Oh, there we are.
I love it, guys. Before I let you go back to your party, tell everybody where they can find you. Tell everybody how they can pick you up on social media, how they can find your music right now. Tell everybody.
All righty, everyone, ReverbNation.com/Bragg and Jimmy for our music, or you can simply go to Bragg with two G's, BRAGGANDJIMMY.com, and you can go through a reverb through that. Go ahead.
No, I'm telling you to go ahead. Go ahead.
My bad. Or at Twitter, of course, at Bragg and Jimmy. Again, Bragg with two G's.
All right, fair enough. I'm sorry to interrupt you guys and whatever. I just, you know, I really am pulling for you guys. You guys are good. You guys keep it lighthearted. And I really, truly believe that you guys are like that Norwegian swimsuit model bus that pulls up in, like, Dumb and Dumber when, you know, they're all walking and, you know, they tell them, you know, like, you know what part of the movie I'm talking about where that Norwegian bus pulls up with all the models, the swimsuit models, and they get off? Anyway, you probably never even seen it.
Yeah, just give us about a year.
That's exactly how I feel with you guys. Gentlemen, I really am very happy for you. I'm really excited to see kind of where things go. I'm going to tweet you out a picture, and when I saved it, it apparently gives you a star when you save it to the phone. So I'm going to let you see it, and I wasn't kidding. So I'm going to send it out to you. Be paying attention to your Twitter for a little bit. But, guys, I really wish the best for you. Come back on soon. We're not going to be strangers like we have been for the last month and a half. Okay, fellas?
Hey, that's fine. We appreciate you having us, for real.
Yeah, straight up.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Be safe tonight, guys, all right?
All right. Have a good one.
All right, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, guys.
Bragg and Jimmy. Kyle, do you have any other music in the background, man? I just got to hear a little bit about a little bit of Bragg and Jimmy. You got anything there, or is it the new computer? We don't have anything saved, downloaded yet.
No, I don't have anything new. I've got a couple of the things we've played in the past, but, you know, you want to do that?
You can just pick one to take us out of here, and when we're done, we can wrap up now, and then if you want to play it to take us out, I appreciate it. You know, I had a blast tonight. I really did, man. I miss you, man. I always tell you, I feel like we're breaking up. I don't even talk to you anymore, you know? So I at least I get you one day a week. So, no, Carl, I know you were busy. I was busy. I missed, you know, just rapping and learning about different people. We had great people on tonight. You know, we had Jamie. I'm going to murder her last name. I feel terrible.
Milanowski.
Milanowski, thank you. And then we had Eli, and I'm going to murder his last name.
McLaughlin.
So help me out. McLaughlin, jeez. Terrible things. I'm the worst. So we had Jamie Milanowski, Eli McLaughlin. They're both fighting 2 weeks. Saturday, September 28th, for V3 Fights, who is an incredible organization. They got some good young stars
live,
right there, man.
We must say. On GFL.TV, broadcasting, pay-per-view.
Yeah.
GFL.TV.
Yeah, yeah, very excited. Very excited to see that. I'm looking forward to that. We had JT Tropics on from Inner Circle. It's a tongue twister for me. From Inner Circle Agency. We had, you know, Bragg and Jimmy on. You and I got a chance to talk for a little bit. We had we had Josh, his last name, Carl?
Shackelford
from Team Madhouse, who's going to be covering the V3 fights in a couple weeks. Just a great night, Carl. I always look forward to doing it, and I'm glad we're back, man. And then, you know, heads up, K Zombie Radio, we're taking our number one spot.
Yeah. Next week, we're booked, fully booked, a whole episode dedicated to V3 fights. Joshua is going to join us again next week, and you know, we're going to push the hell out of their event, and hopefully they have some record sales at GFL.TV.
Yeah, I definitely hope so. Are we having like a promoter on, or are we having just fighters on next week?
We're going to kick it off with the promoter, Rod Galvan, and I don't know who he's got lined up for us yet. But he's booking the show for us. So we can sit back and relax this week. We don't need to worry about it.
Very cool. And I want to be able to talk to the promoter and tell him that I've watched some V3 fights and I'm not an idiot anymore when I'm trying to talk to his up-and-coming stars. So, Carl, if you want to play some Bragging Jimmy, my man, I will talk to you next week on air. I will talk to you before that. And how many days before you release, Shop MMA or Shop Madhouse?
Shop Madhouse. We launched the store on September 20th.
September 20th.
Yeah, man. As soon as we're done here, you know, I got to get to work. I got to keep plugging in products, man. Plugging in products. We got everything you could need coming in there, man. So I'm pretty excited. Everything except for Brad and Jimmy's CD.
Yes, but you know, January, February, I fully expect to see a Buy Rag and Jimmy CD out of there for sure.
Maybe I can get them to give me some sort of EP or something. Oh, I'll touch base with them, see if we can set it. You know, I've got a media section in the store. We don't have anything in it yet, so you know, at the moment, they would be the only thing that could be a good thing.
Very cool. Carl,
as
always, my man, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure working with you and working for you. So I appreciate it, and I will talk to you soon. Full Guard Fight Radio next Saturday night, 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and V3 Fights promoter and a lot of the fighters, because I got an event the following week. Thanks for joining us tonight, guys.
What? Look, man, why don't we just take the world by storm? Alright, it's the same old brag, baby, I'll never change. I'm too young to settle down, but too old for this game. Pull up to the house, then we float away. Eating up these compliments and choking on the fame. I'm going insane, you can take off the same. Cause I'm flying in the tundra, so you know I'm swapping lanes. It's the girl smiling and it's me on her brain. And she's taking off her clothes and I'm the one to blame. So take my words to heart or as a lesson. Expect the bullshit, but just never accept it. I go by Bragg, but let your girl call me Derek. And this is what I told her, and she wouldn't regret it.
Let me hit that, let me hit that.
Yeah.
Let me hit that, let me hit that. Let me hit that, let me hit that. Let me hit that, let me hit that.
Go on, sip a little something till you can feel the burn. Got the bottle turned up, maybe soon you will learn. Cause next it's gonna be your turn. So tell me, are you ready? We gon' take some shots until your eyes get heavy. But don't pass that on me now. Tonight it's just begun. Got my girls coming over just because we said the gun. They're not looking for the one, only the one for tonight. She just wanna get crunk, so you wanna party right? We've got the lights, we've got the sound. Grab a few beers, we can funnel down. Her friend is trying to leave and she's ready to go home. But let me ask you both a question, are you down to get it on?
Let me hit that, let me hit that.
Yeah.
Let me hit that, let me hit that. Let me hit that, let me hit that.
Let me hit that. Let me hit that. Like a boxing glove. I hit it one time and she got lots of love. I'm gonna hit it like a blunt or maybe a joint. A big bold vaporizer, you get the point. We got a lot of dimes, I ain't talking coins. And we always going ham, so we might just boing. I said she wanna come over and make my bed boing. And she said yes with an exclamation point. So I'ma get that, I'ma get that. And you can't, buddy, you better get back. She got brag on her mind, she can't fix that. She fall for me every time I say, let me hit that,
let me hit that. Let me hit that, let me hit that.
Yeah.
Let me hit that, let me hit that.
Got him, baby.
Let me hit that,
brag. She's a passionate lover, she never wants her to go. But once you get her attached, the tattoos to her soul.
right? You know that I can see it in your eyes. You can't say it's all a lie, but if I was to believe what I would see, then I believe it, I would see you laying next to me.
Let me hit that, let me hit that, let me hit that, let me hit that.